This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
You're listening to Geek Cred, episode number 16. Hey everybody, and welcome to Geek Cred. I'm your host, Steve Rickyberg. Geek Cred is the show that gives you the inside scoop on everything geek, from tech to sci-fi to games. Wow, it has been way too long since I've talked to you guys. You have no idea how great it feels to be back with you. Now, for those of you that didn't see the post on the website and are wondering why it took so freaking long to get the next episode out, let me take a minute. Now, what happened was my computer died. There's no way around it. It's a little bit hard to podcast when you don't have a computer that you can use. However, I am happy to say that I am now back up and running, and I am glad to be able to bring you more episodes of Geek Cred. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me through all of this. Now, coming up on this episode, I have an interview with J. Marx Xavier, this time to talk about his new audio drama project, Red Monday. Plus, I have little information on our first ever contest, so just stay tuned. But right now, let's jump right into trivia. Now, I know it was a while ago, but last episode's trivia question was, what successful organization began with an application codenamed Backrub?
Hi Steve, it's Ian of viewfromthequad.com. And you know what? I think I know the answer to your trivia question. What successful organization began with an application called Backrub? It wouldn't happen to be a small search engine. I don't know if you've heard of it. Google, perhaps? Anyways, I'm it.
That's right, what we all know and love as Google began as a humble project at Stanford University with the name Backrub. So thanks again, Kian. You have some geek cred. Now, this episode's trivia question is, who invented the first computer mouse? Who invented the first computer mouse? Think you know the answer? Drop me an email, geekcred@geekcred.net, or like Kian did, you can call the voicemail line at 206-424-9125. Now then, let's jump right into the interview. I'd like to welcome my good friend, J. Marx Xavier, back to Geek Cred. So how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. So when I had you on back in January, it was to talk about your other project, Silent Universe.
Right.
But today we're talking about Red Monday. So what is Red Monday and what is it all about?
Okay, well, Red Monday is basically my first attempt on the web to kind of break away from the usual fare that I do, which is science fiction. Because I'm a big sci-fi fan, so I'm just totally into that by default. But I figured it might be a good idea to see if there was an audience for something a little more, I guess, traditional action adventure. So I came up with the concept for Red Monday, which is essentially can be explained, I guess, in three lines. A nuclear weapon has just exploded in Los Angeles. Millions of people are trying to get out, and three are trying to get back in. So basically, it's a character-based drama about a group of kids who are trying to get into Los Angeles after a nuclear terrorist attack, whereas everyone else is, you know, fleeing, going crazy, trying to get out. And the reason why they're trying to do that, well, that's, you have to actually listen to the podcast to find out why, but it makes a lot of sense once you explain it, because I know on its face it's like, why would you go towards a nuclear bomb? But there's a character-based reason for it. And so I sat down, put together five scripts. It's a five-part miniseries. It's not an ongoing series like Silent Universe is, and it's limited and to be released every Monday, every week, for 5 weeks, till I think it's December 24th, 2007. Yeah, the day before Christmas should be the release of the last episode. What I was trying to do with this one was take some lessons learned from the Silent Universe, one of them being that people like their audio drama, you know, faster than one episode every 5 years. as is sometimes unfortunately the case with the Silent Universe. But the logistics behind putting together an audio drama like this with, like, you know, dozens of different voice actors and Foley and sound effects and music and all of that, it can be very, very time consuming. So this project was pretty much assembled for the most part ahead of time, mixed, cut, and put together, so that we would be able to release it on a limited release schedule once every week. And so for the next 5 weeks, every Monday is essentially kind of Red Monday. And we'll see where it goes from there.
All right. Where did you find inspiration for the story, and how did it come about?
Inspiration for Red Monday. Well, one of my favorite TV shows that I like to watch is, of course, 24. And, I mean, every season of 24 is essentially about somebody from somewhere trying to explode a nuclear bomb somewhere near Los Angeles. So I figured,
yeah,
okay, let's start
with that. It can be
that
way sometimes.
You know, I would say 24 would have to be the biggest inspiration, at least on the concept. The story isn't like 24. There's no Jack Bauer character running around kicking terrorists in the face and stuff like that. It's actually about just kind of a normal, shy college kid who kind of resembles me in some ways, maybe an exaggerated version of myself, who's just trying to find his way in the world and then gets caught up in the middle of this whole nuclear mess and has to try and make sense of it. Another one is inspired by is Jericho, the TV show on CBS that ran for a little while and then got canceled and now is coming back except for the writer's strike or something like that.
Very confusing.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. But when it was on the air, it was actually pretty good. And the concept behind Jericho was, well, what if 20 or 30 nuclear bombs just exploded all over the United States in one day? What would happen to the country? And it's a very interesting concept. I have some issues with the execution, but the idea itself is very solid. So I started from that base of, all right, there's something out here in the, I guess, the zeitgeist or the culture consciousness about nuclear terrorism and how that could play out in reality. So I started with that concept and decided to build it out into a character drama, try and give an interesting character that could be somewhat relatable, not totally out there like, you know, Jack Bauer is, who's a great character in and of himself, but sometimes he so much has to do the Jack Bauer thing that he's not always a believable person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just basically took inspiration from two shows that I, you know, thought were interesting and good concepts and tried to build on the mythos from there. It's like the concept is already out there. It's not something that's necessarily taboo or unbelievable. It's kind of been done, and I just tried to take the concept and do it in a new and, you know, an original kind of way.
So why Los Angeles?
Oh, well, that's because that's where I went to school. I attended the University of Southern California for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I kind of fell in love with USC and Los Angeles overall. So I just figured that's the city that I know. I used to walk the streets there. I know a little bit about the culture and the people. So let's blow it up. Whereas I couldn't do that, you know, say with New York or Chicago, because I've never been to those cities and I couldn't write a drama that was, I guess, true to the culture or kind of did it justice because I've never been there. I could never write like an episode of Heroes where, you know, everything takes place in, what was it, New York or something like that, because I've never been. Whereas LA, that's come second nature to me because I drive, you know, the 5 freeway every day.
So what is the significance of the name Red Monday?
The name Red Monday, you know, it's actually a funny thing. A lot of people have asked and speculated and thought about it so much to the point that I'm not really sure what the original thought was anymore, because a lot of people have said, well, Red Monday apparently is some sort of 1950s term related to Marxism that talks about the overthrow of a capitalist government by communists. And I go, well, if you consider the deeper plot points of Red Monday, the audio drama, I guess that kind of makes sense, so we'll go with that. But I think really, and as is with the case with a lot of the naming conventions that I do with my work, is I go with what sounds cool. The Silent Universe, it was just basically one day. It's like, you know, I've heard the term Silent Universe used in reference to, like, they say, you know, a cosmos where there are no aliens or anything like that and where everything's quiet. So I was like, I wonder if that domain name has been taken. Nope, I'll buy it. And then I built a story around it, essentially.
Every name, is the .com available?
Yeah, is the .com available? It's like, can I get that domain name? All right, let's go with there. So, I was, I remember what it was. There was this old movie called, I think it was the Hunt for Red October.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a submarine movie with Sean Connery in it.
Yeah, based off a Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah, based off a Tom Clancy novel. And I think I kind of started there because I liked the name. And so I decided first off that I wanted to have it be something red, because I knew that there was going to be communists involved in it in some manner. And so I started thinking, well, red, what could I do? And then there was another movie that I had seen a long time ago when I was hanging out with some of my buddies in college called, I think it was Red Dawn, which was another movie. It's kind of old, and it's the concept was that the Soviet Union invades the United States with the help of, like, Mexico or something like that. It's really crazy. It's a funny kind of campy story about these kids that are stuck out in the Midwest when basically the Soviets invade the entire freaking country. And there are tanks, you know, rolling by. And there's this great shot that I remembered of they had these guys from Moscow dressed up in, like, you know, those funny hats that they wear, like,
yep.
You know, the heavy coats because it's really, really cold. And they're parked with, like, this tank with a big red star on it, you know, this whole Stalin'd out and all that. And they're parked in front of a McDonald's.
That's classic.
And I was like, this movie is awesome. The movie is absolutely terrible. It's horrid, but I liked the name. And so I wanted to have something that kind of was reminiscent of that. So I was like, Red Dawn. And then I was like, well, maybe I could call it Red Morning. And then I was like, no, that's too much of a ripoff of the name. And then I started going, well, maybe Red Sunday. Red Monday sounds good. Let me see if that domain's available. Okay, we'll do that. And that's pretty much where the name came from. And it stuck. I always try to do something that's easy to remember, not really complicated. It's not like, you know, the Chronicles of Red Monday, the third division of, you know, the fourth district of... You just got to have something that's quick and easy to recall, because I always want to keep in mind branding concerns. If you can't remember the name of my podcast, then you're not going to be able to go to the website. You're not going to download it, because you're going to be like, what's it called?
Yeah, exactly. What's the point people aren't going to remember?
If you don't know what it is, it's like Scott Saylor's good at that with, like, what was one of his books, Earth Core. It's like, bam, you see it, you get it, and it sticks in your head, and you remember it. It's not something you get confused about or you forget. And just the term Red Monday is very simple. It's not something that you're going to flip out on. It's as iconic as, like, you know, Black Friday or anything like that. So,
now, why did you choose the medium of audio drama to tell the story instead of a novel or a film?
Well, I started actually writing when I was in junior high, and I've always loved the novel. I thought it was a great form of storytelling. You can get your ideas out there, you can describe, you know, a world, and you can make it really immersive. And I've always enjoyed that as my first form of writing. But I also noticed that sometimes it can be a little bit hard to access for people who are, I guess, what would you call part of the internet generation or the MySpace generation. If you slap down, you know, a 250-page book in front of their face, they look at you like, are you serious? Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered very soon in trying to share my stories with people, you know, who are my age, that novels were great for people, you know, who either one really loved to read or two were, you know, maybe more of my parents' generation. But I had to find something more snappy and quick and to the point in kind of the internet age, because the web is all about graphics. It's all about seeing your thing. But unfortunately, I came to the point where I was like, well, then obviously I have to make a show. I have to grab a camera, get some actors, you know, put some special effects in there and make myself a TV show. But I've never really had the time or the resources to actually do that. I have a full-time job that I work at. I'm out, you know, 10 hours a day. I'm away from my house. I have a girlfriend who needs love and attention as well. And so my spare time to basically put together a TV show outside of those two things is pretty limited. And so I thought, well, if I can't get the visual aspect of a TV show or a video or a, you know, a YouTube, and again, even on YouTube, the stories are generally like, you know, 5-10 minutes tops. The type of stories that I would like to tell are like, you know, 15-30 minutes, 2.5 hours, like movie length type things. Mm-hmm. And so I came to the conclusion that, well, maybe I can have the best of both. I don't have to be as, quote, boring as a book, you know, as uninteresting to, you know, people who don't read as a book would be. And I can sacrifice a little bit of that flexibility, and I can get the emotion that you get, like, you know, from sound effects and especially music that you hear in soundtracks to movies, if I did an audio drama. And that actually ended up working out, because with an audio drama, all I have to do is essentially find voice actors who have access to studios, give them a copy of the script, and have them record their lines individually, and then I can create a sound space on my computer where they all come together. So now all the logistics of actually, I don't have to fly a guy over from Shanghai, essentially, to come down here and, you know, act out the character of, you know, oh, I can't say his name because I don't want to spoil it, but one of the characters in one of the later episodes of Red Monday. I can just send him the script and he can record it in his own studio in China, and then he can just email it to me and I can assemble it that way. So it doesn't take nearly as much time as a video would, but you still get some of that kind of emotional impact that you would from a TV show or a movie, because you hear it going on. And you kind of get, I think, the sense of that when you listen to something like the Red Monday or Silent Universe. It's like you're watching, it's like you have a TV show on your TV, but, you know, your back's turned to it. I try to make it as much sounding as professional and TV-like as I possibly can, because ultimately, if, you know, one day in the future, say, I don't know, Steven Spielberg listens to Red Monday or something and says, hey, come work for me, da-da-da-da, he can already see that that's where I'm visualizing, that's what I'm thinking, that's what I'm writing towards in my scripts. I'm trying to do everything that a TV show is, except the visual component. And maybe someday, when I get enough of these things under my belt, maybe I'll be able to quit my job and actually do that, because that's what I love.
I definitely think it works because, well, you can't watch TV with the sound off. I mean, you're just totally lost. You don't understand what's going on. But with audio drama, you're getting, but your mind can fill in the gaps of what's happening.
Yeah, you could, if you just sit in a room and close your eyes and listen, you can basically do the same thing as a book. You visualize the world there. You can decide what Gabriel looks like. You can decide what Will looks like. You can decide what Isaac Walker looks like, you know, and all, you have the voice and the sound effects, so you know what's going on. But, and I do this all the time. When I'm writing the script to when I'm listening to it, I close my eyes and I see those scenes in my head. I know what color Will's car is, you know, when he's driving in the first scene, because I have it in my head. And it also happens to look exactly like my car. But that's entirely besides the point. But you can put a little bit of yourself into the story and take ownership of it. And it's not as limiting, and it's kind of a weird word to use when you're talking about video, but it's not as limiting as video, where it confines you to one interpretation of what it is. You can customize it for your own self. So for every person, it's a different experience, you know?
That really makes the medium special, I think. The term theater of the mind really is apt, I think.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Geek Cred is going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have the rest of the interview with J. Marx Xavier.
In a world where evil walks the earth, where supervillains are taken over by demonic beings. They all want one thing, and one thing only: to take over the world. There's only one man who can stop them. One man with the powers and abilities to kick some serious demon ass in a race against time to stop a portal that opens to hell itself. One man, one hero, one son of a bitch you don't want to mess with. He is faceless. He is fearless. He is Black Shadow.
Those demons won't know what hit them.
From the mind of debut audiobook author Steve Saylor comes a story where the superpowers meets the supernatural. Want to learn more? Head to stevesaylor.net for more details. Black Shadow, coming soon to Podshow and a podcatcher near you.
This is podcast author Scott Sigler, and you're listening to Geek Cred.
Now, almost as notable as the drama itself, you've had a pretty extensive viral marketing / alternate reality game going. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, the ARG. That was an interesting story. As I was putting together Red Monday and writing the script and getting all the ducks in a row in terms of the audio production, I started to think to myself, well, how am I going to market this? Because I don't have $1 billion to go out and say, hey, I'm just going to, you know, buy a TV ad or, you know, buy an ad in the New York Times that says, check out Red Monday. What are the options that I have to market this in a way that will reach a lot of people but not cost a lot of money? And that's basically the question that every marketing manager in the entire country asks themselves. How can I get a lot of information out there to a lot of people without paying a lot of money? It's you know, the old conundrum. And so I started to do a little bit of research on that, and I found out I came up with this idea actually independently. I said, well, why don't I create a countdown website that's counting down to you don't know what. It's counting down to something, and it's, if you want to know what it is, you have to sign up, you know, put your email in to find out. And the purpose of that was basically so I could remind people when the premiere date was to come back to the site and listen.
Very smart.
Yeah, I remember showing it to one of my girlfriend's roommate's friend, who is a big Halo player, and he looked at the website that I had set up before I launched it, and he said, oh, dude, this is just like I Love Bees. And I was
what?
Like, I Love Bees? What is I Love Bees? And so I started to do a little research on it, and it turns out I discovered this world of alternate reality gaming, which is essentially using the tools of the internet and or the real world. You let people interact with a fictional character from the universe of your story. Have you ever heard of I Love Bees?
I hadn't until just now.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll give a little bit of background on it. The people who were behind, I think it was Halo 2, they wanted to market for their game. And so they created this website. It's still up, actually. It's called ilovebees.com. And if you go to it, it looks like a website that's just like someone who's a bee enthusiast just writes this website about how great bees are and how they're awesome and all this sort of stuff. But if you stay on the website for a couple seconds, it, like, someone hacks into the website, and then like all this information starts to pour out all over the screen, and you're like, what's going on? And then your curiosity is piqued because it's not what you expect. You're going to this website, which is basically like somebody's GeoCities page about how awesome bees are. And the next thing you know, you're talking with an artificial intelligence from, you know, 500 years in the future that has gone back in time and taken over this website as a means to communicate with the local populace.
Wacky.
And you're like, what? What is this? And they took that website, they created it, and then they had a movie trailer. And at the very end of the movie trailer, for like a half second, they flashed ilovebees.com. And it seemed completely unrelated to the Halo ad that had been running in the theaters. But when people went to the site and they didn't know what it was about, what do you think they did? They asked their friends about it. What is this website? Do you know anything about this? Check this out. Let's investigate it. And it touched off kind of a viral marketing campaign where people were asking questions, trying to figure out what this website was about, who was behind it, and what the story was. And over the course of, I think it was several weeks or months, they started to reveal a little bit more about, you know, what this artificial intelligence computer was, where it came from, and ultimately it tied into the storyline of the video game. But of course, the point of the video game is, or of the ARG, is to get people talking and asking questions about the game so that eventually they buy it. And so I thought that was a pretty interesting idea, because it's really, really, really hard to market to basically what I call smart internet people, who are folks that use the internet a lot. They, you know, they go on Dig, they participate in social media, they have a group of friends online, and if you try to hit that person with a pop-up, they have they have six blockers that will kill it. Yeah. And I don't blame them, because pop-ups piss me off. If you send them an unsolicited email, they will block you. They're very, very hard to reach, because everybody and their grandmother is constantly trying to bombard them with all sorts of commercial messages. They're always trying to push something in your face, push, 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 push. But the beauty of alternate reality gaming was that, well, essentially, all you're doing a pull strategy. You put something out there, you're not screaming in someone's face, you don't have this big, gaudy website, you're not trying to, you know, take over someone's computer and force them to go to your website. You just put something out there that's mysterious and let curiosity do the rest. And so with the Red Monday ARG, when I put it out there, I didn't tell anyone about it. I just asked a friend of mine to link to the website. And then in October of this year, at the Podcast and New Media Expo, I dressed up as an FBI agent, and I passed out red envelopes that I had ordered offline for like $30. And then each of the red envelopes contained a cryptic message and a reference to redmonday.com. Again, the entire point was just to build curiosity and to get people interested in it. And it went over actually pretty well. But the problem is, as you probably know, because you were at the podcasting expo, is... curiosity actually turned out to work a lot better than some of the people who had come to the podcast expo and, you know, dropped several thousand dollars for a booth. Because these people had paid tons and tons of money for a booth and were trying to hand out flyers. And in the same way that pop-ups work, they were approaching people and trying to pass out cards and stuff like that. All I basically did is I made sure that I was seen in a conspicuous manner. And then I went and I sat down at an open coffee table with five red envelopes in front of me. And I didn't do anything. I just sat there and let curiosity take its toll. And, you know, I was sitting there for a couple minutes. Nothing happened. No one came by. And then this one guy, I wish I knew what his name was. It was this guy, he had a beard. He walks past me, looks at me out of the corner of his eye. And here I am in this FBI suit, you know, suit and tie, aviator shades. He walks past me and like he pretends that he doesn't see, but I saw him looking at me. And then he walks by a second time and again pretends that he's ignoring me, and then just quickly slips into the seat across from me, and he's like, okay, you got to tell me what this is about. I really need to know. I'm so curious. And I was like, as soon as that happened, I'm like, okay, this is gonna work out okay. I handed them the envelope, it had the message in it, and I refused to give them any information. People asked me questions, what is this about? Who are you with? Are you with the Secret Service? And I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm not authorized to answer that question. And the less information that I gave, the more interested people became, which is a very interesting thing. Because usually it's an ad, this is our product, check this out, we're so great, we're so great, we're so great, as opposed to what I ended up doing. People were saying, what are you about? I want to listen to your thing. And they had no idea. And that's what was, I guess, kind of sexy to them. So after that happened, some people at the booths who were at the podcast expo got a little angry because people were kind of, you know, crowding around my desk. And I was handing out, like, you know, dozens of these red envelopes. And people had them in their hands. People were talking about it. Like, some people do live broadcasts from the podcast expo. People were talking about me while I was just sitting there pointing the cameras at me, taking pictures and posing and all sorts of, you know, just good stuff. I was creating buzz. And I guess some people who had actually paid for a booth were a little bit upset because the coffee table that I had claimed that I was sitting down at was where a booth would have gone if someone had bought that booth, but no one did, so they just put up coffee tables for people to sit and relax at. So I just sat there, and I guess people started to feel a little bit like I was getting too much attention for someone who hadn't paid.
They felt threatened.
Yeah, I didn't pay. I just sat down, but they put the chairs there. So I ended up at one point or two or three points getting accosted by security. They're saying, you know, you can't sit here. You can't hand out your materials. And I said, well, people are handing out business cards in this thing, you know, all over the place. What's up with that? They're allowed to do that. Yeah, but, you know, they're not sitting down. You know, something that doesn't make sense. And I realized that what had happened was as soon as I had started to have some success, that's when I started to draw some negative attention. And eventually, I guess I freaked some people out, but I don't know how. I didn't threaten anybody. I hardly talked to anyone. But some people felt a little uncomfortable about, you know, this guy standing here in these aviator shades in this, you know, FBI outfit. And so they called the master of the whole podcast expo. And he comes down and he threatened to throw me out if I didn't stop creeping people out. So for better or for worse, that's how it started off. And I was a little annoyed about it at the time because I was like, I'm just trying to come up with, you know, an interesting and unique idea to get people's attention. I really wasn't trying to offend anyone. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because after that had happened, I decided to write about the experience on my blog. And I was like, oh, I'll just explain what happened and, you know, people will probably think it's interesting or funny. And then I had that put on Dig. And I asked, you know, my friends and people who I had talked to at the Podcast Expo, hey, you know, dig the story if you like it. And I, you know, asked a couple dozen people to dig it. And then I went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and found myself on the front page of dig.com.
Very cool.
And so that actually turned out to be a huge boon because all of that publicity and interest that was generated from the Dig event, essentially, is what launched the online version of the ARG. Because now suddenly I had hundreds of people on my mailing list who were interested in wanting to find out what this website was about. And so then I kind of found myself in a weird position of I had created this huge expectation of, oh, there's going to be some sort of alternate reality game. Oh, there's going to be some sort of thing going on. But Red Monday was still like 2 months away. So I was stuck in the position of how do I keep people interested and keep the words Red Monday like at the top of their minds when, you know, the release date wasn't until like, you know, November 26th. So I went back into the ARG thing and created this concept of an extended storyline that tied into the main story of Red Monday, and it followed one of the secondary characters and what they were doing in the days and hours actually leading up to the nuclear explosion that happened in Los Angeles. The character's name was Jimmy Chu, and he's an actual character in the story. And he's just this kid who works at the Chinese embassy in LA, and he's just a computer fixer. That's all that he does. He's an IT guy. And while he was messing with some of the computers in the embassy, he came across some information that was related to this upcoming terrorist attack. And so his curiosity was piqued, and he started investigating it. And so the story was basically, if you came to redmonday.com and you signed up, JC would email you and say, hey, I need your help trying to figure out what's going on with this. And so every week I would drop clues and puzzles, satellite photos, you know, doctored images, just suspicious looking things that were hints of the makings of what resulted in the nuclear explosion. The people who were involved, you know, certain names were popping up that, you know, they were all getting all their ducks in a row in real time before Red Monday happened. Because the day that Red Monday launched, November 26th, is the day that the explosion happens in the story. So in the days and weeks before that, it was literally JC trying to figure out what Red Monday was, and then once he had an idea of it, trying to see who was involved, and ultimately trying to stop it, and asking anybody who had signed up for their assistance. So people were going out and they were looking up the names of actual real people, characters from the Middle East and people from China, and trying to find out background information on them so that they could help JC, the character Jimmy, get a better understanding of what was going on in Red Monday. Because, you know, you drop the name, for example, Khalid bin Sultan. Okay, that's a Middle Eastern name, but what does that mean? If you Google his name, you'll find out that he is a prince from Saudi Arabia. So as soon as then JC drops this name, like, yeah, I heard something about this person named Khalid bin Sultan. I don't know anything about him. People just automatically went on Google, found out information, and started sending information to JC. Then he, or more appropriately me, would take that information and remix it and alter the storyline a little bit to go along with what people were thinking and where people were speculating. So they were kind of involved with the story up until the actual event. The climax of the ARG was basically, we know there's a terrorist attack happening. We know it's going to happen somewhere in the United States. We know who's involved, but we can't prove it. We don't have any proof. All we have is circumstantial information. We have to find a way to stop this. And ultimately, they failed to stop it from occurring. And then as a result, the bomb went off and Red Monday launched on November 26th.
So even the participants actually even helped shape where that story went. Very cool.
Yeah, it was just a way, because online is all about participation and give and take and, you know, remixing and stuff like that. And I tried to do that with Silent Universe and letting people, you know, read the scripts and participate in that manner. The ARG was just another way for people to get involved and to affect the story. One of the issues that came up with the ARG is that since I was using real people and real places and real information, people started to get a little freaked out, which is, in hindsight, was funny. But at the time, people were really concerned because one of the people whose names, someone was speculating that was attached to Red Monday, like, you know, the events leading up to it, like he was somehow involved in the conspiracy, happened to be a guy who was on the FBI terrorist watch list. And so people were like, oh, crap, we probably shouldn't Google this because we might get in trouble with the government, sort of a thing. And really, if you were an agent at the FBI and you just happened to be looking at, like, our Google searches, you would totally think that we were, like, cooking something bad up. Because, like, if you were looking at my Google searches for the couple months leading up to the release of Red Monday, I'm like, so let me see, uranium-235, okay, oh, this is how a fission bomb works, defective nuclear weapons, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da. I was just doing research to make sure that I was factually correct, but if you didn't have context, you would pretty much think that I was trying to blow up the world.
So has the FBI knocked on your door yet?
No, surprisingly, the FBI had not. My girlfriend was beating me up. She was like, you know, you really need to let the FBI know about this ahead of time, because you could cause a hoax and cause like an Aqua Teen Hunger Force type of thing, where they had you know about the thing, was it in Boston?
Yeah, had the little viral things and freaked everybody out for a bomb
scare. Yeah, they
just
put them and people were like, oh my gosh, it's a bomb! And it really wasn't, but they like shut down the entire city for like a day and got charged like $2 million for it. So I kind of wanted to avoid that because I don't think I could pay off $2 million with my current form of
employment.
That
would be bad.
Yeah, that would be really bad. So essentially, to assuage the fears of people who were kind of freaking out that this was too real, because people were actually starting to speculate that it wasn't a game, that there was actually somebody out there trying to use the guise of a game to create a pretense for like an actual terrorist attack. So one day I decided, all right, you know what, I'll give them a signal that this actually isn't real. So I signed on to Skype one day as one of the characters in the ARG and waited for someone to IM me. And then I started complaining about President Kerry. Just, you know, oh, President Kerry did something stupid today, blah, blah, blah. And they kind of stopped and they went, George Bush is the president. And I'm like, no, George Bush is not the president. Kerry is the president. And then we had like a 15-minute argument about it. And then that person like went back to the group of other people who were participating in the ARG. And he was like, I just had an argument with Jimmy about who the president is. George Bush is the president, right? And everyone's like, yeah.
A little double meaning to the term alternate reality in this case.
Yeah, exactly. So it was that little hint. Help people to relax a little bit, because up until that point I gave absolutely no indication that this was actually a game. I figured that, you know, the intrigue and the scary aspect of it would make it more interesting, but it just ended up freaking people out. So that was one of the changes that I made kind of mid-course. And actually you'll probably hear in one of the episodes of the audio drama a reference to President Kerry. So in that way, the ARG directly shaped a detail of the story.
Now, as you said, it's going to be a 5-part miniseries, but I've got to ask, is there any chance we're going to see a sequel or anything more through this down the line?
Yes, there is a possibility for a sequel. The 5-part miniseries is self-contained. So, you know, the story arc that's opened up is pretty much resolved by the 5th episode. But there are a few loose ends as well, and those loose ends have been strategically placed. If so, Red Monday becomes, you know, more popular and people want to see a sequel to it, I've kind of laid the framework for that. Originally, when I first put together the audio drama, it was completely self-contained, and then a certain individual was like, is there going to be a sequel for this? You should try and do something for a sequel. And I thought a little bit about that, and I said, okay, let me change up a few of the closing details and make it such that if this really does generate a lot of interest, there would be a possibility for, you know, a Red Monday Part 2. And it wouldn't just be kind of a remake of the original Red Monday, but it would be a continued story where, you know, oh, Los Angeles was just the beginning. You know, that sort of a thing.
So if you guys want to get more, get out there and buy it and support the project.
Yes, please, please. The first episode is available for free. You go there, check it out, download it. You can, I don't care what you do with it. You can take it, you can put it on P2P, you can give it to your friends. It doesn't matter. Check it out. And if you like it, please consider signing up for the subsequent episodes. It's only $5. I tried to, you know, look at how other audio products were being priced across the internet, you know, 99-cent songs on iTunes. I forget how much they charge for TV shows. $1.99 for a half-hour TV show on iTunes as well. And so I said, well, if I'm going to give 5 parts, let me see if I can, you know, price it a little bit below what iTunes is putting out there, just to be fair, and, you know, see if people are interested. I mean, come on, people spend $5 to get a cup of coffee. Yeah. You know, a movie costs $9.99, $16.99, you know, something like that. Video games go for $30, $40, $50. I'm asking for $5. So I figure, you know, it's not too high of a price, and if people enjoy it enough, you know, they'll buy it. Because ultimately, it's their decision. But yeah, if you like it, please, please do support it, because I love to do this stuff, but I also have voice actors that I have to pay. I have musicians that I have to pay, and you know, this stuff can't be made for free. Not at the level of quality that I'm shooting for, which is professional. And at that level, people have to get paid. And it's not just about me. I want to make sure that the people that are working with me and the people that are voicing the characters and the people that are, you know, breaking their backs and putting in blood, sweat, and tears to help me out on this, that they come out ahead as well, you know?
All right, yeah, definitely. So everybody head over, check it out, redmonday.com. You can listen to the first part for free, no risk, you know, just like the infomercials.
Totally free, no risk, no obligations, cancel anytime.
But all joking aside, it's really great stuff. So check it out and support what he's doing.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Steve, for, you know, having me on the show. I really appreciate it when you take the time to, you know, do an interview or whatnot and give me some publicity for these projects, because it really helps to know that I can, you know, get the word out there. And I want to say thanks for, you know, taking the time and considering me worthy enough to be on yet another episode of Geek
Rat. Hey, you got something cool going on, so I got to get you on to talk about it.
And thank you. I really appreciate it.
Once again, I want to thank him for taking some time out from working on Red Monday to come on the show to talk about it. Now, at the top of the show, I promised you some info on Geek Cred's first ever contest. So here's the details. You can win a free subscription to J. Marx Xavier's Red Monday. That's all 5 episodes of the miniseries. Now, I'm even going to make it easy. All you have to do if you want to win Red Monday is send an email to contest@geekcred.net and in the subject line, put Red Monday. It's that easy. The deadline is Sunday, December 9th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I also want to give one very special shout out to one of the regulars in the IRC chat, Titanus, for his very generous donation. It's donations like these that help keep the show going. So if you can spare a few bucks, please consider donating. Every little bit makes a difference. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Geek Cred. So if you've got any questions, comments, feedback, hey, even flames, I want to hear it. So email me, geekcred@geekcred.net, or you can leave a message on the voicemail line by calling 206-424-9125, or you can go and leave a comment on the website at www.geekcred.net. We've got a great little IRC chat community, so if you want to join me, Titanus, and all the rest of the regulars, point your IRC client to #geekcred at irc.geekcred.net, or if you're not too IRC savvy, hey, no problem. Just point your browser to geekcred.net/chat, where we have a nice little web chat that you can use to jump in and get talking with us. So I look forward to seeing you there. If you like the show, please consider telling a friend, or you can leave us a review on iTunes, add us to your playlist at Podcast Pickle, vote for us at Podcast Alley, and dig us at dig.com. Now, Geek Cred is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can check out Friends in Tech and all the great shows over there at www.friendsintech.com. And now I've got some more great interviews coming up for you guys, but I'm not going to drop any names yet because I don't have everything nailed down quite yet, and I don't want to jinx it, but I think you're really going to enjoy it. Well, that's it for me, everybody. So thanks for listening, and until next time, geek on!